All right, Craig, thank you. Welcome back to Hometown Radio. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. You know, timing is everything. I was just reading an article yesterday in the Hollywood Trades about how the traditional box office smash movies are all kind of faltering at the box office. I don't know if it's because all they can make is one sequel after another or if they've run out of ideas. But the traditional idea of us going to the movies on a Friday or Saturday night is being reinvented all across the country and around the world. And here's a perfect example. We're about to be joined by writer, actor, producer Naomi McDougall-Jones on the cutting edge of rethinking distribution of movies. She's got a comedy just out now. It's called Bite Me. I love it. She joins us now. Naomi, good afternoon.
Hi, Dave. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. Thanks for being had. So before anything else, how do I get to see Bite Me? What would be the easiest way to do that?
Well, if you are anywhere in the United States, you can watch it on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, or a really great independent platform called Seed and Spark, if you want to watch it from the comfort of your own home. But you can also find us all over the country on our 51-screening, 40-city, 3-month Joyful Vampire Tour of America. We're doing screenings all over the country. We started in New York on May 6th, and we're going to be traveling until August 1st.
And you're on your way to San Francisco, right, now?
We are. We have a screening in San Francisco tonight and another one tomorrow night. Tonight's sold out, so don't come, but come tomorrow night.
Yeah. Have you done this with previous movies, Naomi, this kind of distribution?
No. My first feature film, Imagine and Beautiful, got a traditional theatrical distribution deal through an independent distributor. And what we learned on that film is that the way that independent films are distributed right now is terrible. It's bad for filmmakers and bad for audiences because distributors are just sort of despondent at wit's end, and they're acquiring a ton of independent films and just dumping them into the marketplace with really no marketing dollars or strategy behind them. So having had that experience once, when it came time to distribute Bite Me, I didn't want to just fling this film off into a cliff. I knew there was an audience for it. It was too good to do that with. So my producing partner, Sarah Wharton, and I just decided that we were going to try to pioneer a different kind of distribution model. And we rented an RV, and we are just literally old-school carnival-style driving this film around the country, finding audiences where they are. Referring to that article that you brought up at the beginning, our idea is that part of the reason that people won't go to the movie theater anymore is that essentially what we're offering them in the traditional model is to watch the same film they could watch at home in way less comfortable seats with people screaming, yeah. And there's no really added benefit. You just pay $50 for a ticket and popcorn, and why would you leave your house to do that? So what we're offering is something really different. It's an experience, and it's a whole evening. So every time there's a screening, there's also a Q&A with me. I'm there. You get to meet me. We talk about the film after it happens, and then after every screening, we also have a Joyful Vampire Ball, which is part party, part celebration, and part chance to hang out and meet the filmmakers in costume, if you would like. So our idea, which seems to be bearing itself out, is that if people are actually desperate to get out of their houses and back into community, but you have to give them a reason to do that that's different than just watching a movie.
And how's that working out for you, Naomi?
Well, we sold out in San Francisco tonight. Yeah. It's been working incredibly well. It's been so moving. It's like the whole tour has actually reminded me why storytelling is so important, because getting to travel around the country, go to Vicksburg, Mississippi, and Gainesville, Florida, and Charlotte, North Carolina, and San Francisco, and Los Angeles, it's reminding me the impact that stories can have. And being in the theater and listening to audiences laugh and then having really moving interactions with them and watching them interact with each other after the movie, it's really giving me a lot of hope for humanity in a funny way.
Yeah, no, I love this idea. And is there a website for Bite Me?
Yeah, bitemethefilm.com.
Bitemethefilm.com. This is a comedy. I guess it involves an IRS agent and a vampire?
Yes, it's a romantic comedy, actually. It's a subversive romantic comedy about a real-life vampire and the IRS agent who audits her. But it's not a traditional vampire movie. If you don't like vampire movies, you'll still like this one. At its heart, it's a romantic comedy.
Right, and you wrote the script?
I did.
All right. How'd you come up with the idea?
I love romantic comedies so much as an audience member, and I've been really sad that that genre has taken such a terrible nosedive into just like Katherine Heigl fluff land. So I really wanted to write a great, smart, feminist, funny romantic comedy. And then I met a real vampire on the set of Boardwalk Empire and just found out that there is indeed a global subculture of people who identify as vampires, and became completely fascinated by them and wanted to make a movie about them.
Well, let me share with you a recent experience I had last weekend. My friend and I, we went to see the new movie Late Night, the comedy with Emma Thompson, Mindy Kaling. It was like a matinee was $10.50. We skipped the concession stand because I didn't want to spend that kind of money. We went in, and there were 8 trailers even before the movie began. And
oh my God,
people were talking all around, and the movie was okay, but I could have stayed at home and found any number of equal films on Netflix. So I don't know if I'm your demographic in that or not, but it's just kind of like I am much more selective about when I will go out to a movie theater. It's got to be a really good movie. Yeah.
I am too. I mean, I think we all are at this point, because why would you, and many people have screens in their homes that are as big as independent cinema screens are.
Yeah,
so I think that's why we're offering a different proposition, because you can do that, but can you meet the filmmaker after that and talk to them about the film? Can you, you don't get to come in costume to do that and be in costume with other people watching a movie and laughing together. And you don't get to have a party with your community after that. So I think what this is teaching me is that people actually really do want to come out and watch movies, but you just have to make it a better proposition. And our tickets are very cheap. We're not charging insane prices. It's just the cost of a movie ticket.
Why not the film festival route?
So we did play. We premiered at Cinequest Film Festival, actually, in San Jose, and then won Best Feature at Victoria Independent Film Festival. But the problem with film festivals is that filmmakers don't make any money on them, and in fact, we lose quite a lot of money playing festivals, because there are submission fees, and then you have to pay for yourself to get there, you have to pay to market the film, and the film festival keeps all of the money. So film is a business, and even at the independent level, it's a business. We want to make our money back for our investors, so in a sense, we're doing our own festival tour, just we're the only film playing. But it's the same idea of getting into communities and being with them and finding our audience where they are.
Until I heard from you, I had not was not aware. Is it Seed and Spark?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Seed and Spark. So they're, you can think of them like Netflix for independent films. They're a subscriptions, monthly subscription service, but they're pay what you can because they believe in accessibility of content. So you can pay as little as $3 a month, and that you have an incredible access to independent content. They're the only streaming platform with 50% content by female creators. And because they genuinely care about independent filmmakers, we actually make 5 times as much money when you watch us on Seed and Spark as we do if you watch it on iTunes, Amazon, or Google Play.
So I can watch your movie on Seed and Spark, and in the process, I'd be supporting you.
Exactly. It's less money. You pay less money, and we make 5 times more money. It's a great deal for everybody.
That's a win-win-win. And also, please talk about what's happening with women in Hollywood now. Not the Me Too stuff, but as a result of all that, the perception is there's more opportunities for women both in front of and behind the camera. Am I right about that?
Unfortunately, you're not that right. There is that perception, and the studios have been doing a really good job at doing a lot of flashy PR stories to confuse everyone and make it look like they're doing real change. Right. The reality is for the past 2 decades, 5% of studio films have been directed by women. And actually in 2018, that number went down to 4%. On-screen representation is a little bit better, but realistically, the films are still being written and produced and directed almost exclusively by white men. But what's exciting, I actually have a book coming out about this on February 4th called The Wrong Kind of Woman, Dismantling the Gods of Hollywood. And it's about the grassroots revolution that's happening on the fringes of the film industry right now, of which the Joyful Vampire Tour of America is part, which is that for the first time, women and people of color and other folks who have been historically underrepresented in film now have these avenues to get around the film industry and find their audiences directly, particularly in this moment where Hollywood is faltering and has gotten so stale and is making itself so quickly irrelevant. So there's these really exciting things happening. There's a grassroots revolution happening that I think is just going to keep growing and is going to give audiences access to stories that they've never heard before.
And hopefully better stories, given what I've seen lately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and to your earlier question, it's definitely not that Hollywood has run out of ideas. It's that they now have to make films that will sell in every territory in the world. And so they have to go for the most recognizable and least offensive and most bland movies possible. And although domestic ticket sales keep falling on those movies, foreign ticket sales actually keep going up. Hollywood is perfectly aware that domestic audiences hate these movies they're making, and they just don't care because they're making $1 billion a movie overseas.
And to your earlier point, they don't seem to be making romantic comedies as much.
No, and the ones they are, I mean, Crazy Rich Asians being a notable exception, but for the most part, they're really, really dumb and not that funny, yeah. Which is too bad.
We're in conversation with Naomi McDougall-Jones, writer, actor, producer. The new film is called Bite Me. And for people just tuning in, Naomi, how can we see Bite Me?
So go to bitemethefilm.com, and you can find all the ways there. You can watch us online on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and Feed and Spark. You can also find us on tour. We're in San Francisco tonight and tomorrow. And then we're in the middle of a 51-screening, 40-city, 3-month tour of the entire contiguous United States, so we're probably coming to a city near you.
Yeah, and the thing with the party and everything, this all sounds like fun, but it's a perfect fit given the synopsis for your comedy, Bite Me. But what if your next film is, I don't know, more of a drama? Would it still fit this model?
Yeah, so this is the beautiful thing, is the ethos and the details of the tour would change per film, but I know what my next film will be. It's a magical realism piece about a 7-month pregnant woman who gets accidentally locked overnight in a castle full of famous ghosts. So still supernatural, but much more dramatic and dark. And the model would still work. I think what the event would be after the screening would just be different. It might be women's circles. It might be, we might get a shaman in. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the model itself wouldn't change. It's just like, because what's really exciting as a filmmaker and a storyteller is that what you get to do here is design how your audience watches the movie. So you get to think, what is the film trying to do to people in the first place? And what is an event that I can add on to it that will actually enhance that effect and impact I'm trying to have on the audience to begin with.
And based upon who you've seen so far in your multi-city tour, what's your audience like in terms of demographics? Are they younger?
Do you know the craziest thing? We were sure that this film would have a really specific and pretty niche audience.
Right.
And we have not run into a demographic so far that doesn't like it. We've had old audiences. We've had young audiences, we've had pretty normal, like sort of normie people, we've had super counterculture people, and I think the thing is everybody falls in love and everybody wants to be reminded of that beautiful, giddy, hopeful feeling of falling in love. So far, we haven't really run into anybody that didn't like it, which has been so exciting.
See, that's where I agree with you. I think that the romantic comedy could be stronger than ever. People are dying for that kind of story if it can be done right.
Totally. And it's just if it can be a fresh, original, well-made story, because we need hope. We're in a very dark moment here.
Yeah, yeah.
We need, and not that we need to escape that. We need to confront it and resist it and everything, but also sometimes we need to take a night off and laugh and be with other people and remember what we're fighting for, I think.
Do you think what you and Sarah are doing, is this the future of independent filmmaking?
yeah, I kind of do think it is. And I'm pretty excited about it because it's putting me more directly in contact with my audience than I could ever have been before. It's making me a better filmmaker because I'm in literal conversation with my audience all over the country.
Now, that was going to be my next question, whether or not this tour is shaping your approach to future filmmaking.
Oh, 100. I mean, I'm on fire thinking about with the possibilities of what this means. And, you know, just to give one example, we got invited to come screen in Vicksburg, Mississippi. I've never been to Mississippi. I don't know anybody in the state. I didn't know anybody in the state of Mississippi. And, yeah. You know, we have a pretty edgy feminist movie. And I was like, are you sure you want us to come? Have you seen the movie? And they were like, no, come. It's going to be great. And I was really apprehensive about it going in. You know, there are Confederate flags all over the place. And I was like, I don't know about this. And then we had probably the best screening of the tour so far there because all of the weirdos of Vicksburg, Mississippi came out. The entire audience was in costume. And it meant so much more to them because what it means to be an outsider in Vicksburg is a lot more serious than what it means to be an outsider in New York City. And so there was one of my prejudices, you know, blasted open. And it's giving me such a richer understanding of the country.
All right, Naomi McDougall-Jones, we appreciate you joining us. One last time, please. What's the website?
BiteMeTheFilm.com.
BiteMeTheFilm.com. Thanks so much for being on Hometown Radio. Final thoughts about Bite Me and the future of independent filmmaking?
Come out and find us. It's so fun. If you can find us somewhere on the tour, do it. And if not, watch it from your home. It's still fun. It's even more fun if you wear a cape. You can wear a cape at home, too.
Naomi, thanks for being with us this afternoon. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That was Naomi McDougall-Jones. It sounds like it's the future of independent filmmaking. We'll come back and chat. I'm Dave Congleton. You're listening to Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. It is the Dave Congleton Show. I'll take a second here and remind you, invite you, please, to get the KVEC Daily Update delivered to your email inbox free, powered by the folks at Ranch Wi-Fi and the good folks at Solarponics. Sign up now at 920kvec.com. It's real easy. You do that every morning, we'll send you an email. You'll get Scott Taylor local news headlines, John Lindsay's complete weather forecast. Who knows what's going on with this weather? It's just amazing. And our complete schedule for Hometown Radio that day, so you will know in advance who's coming on the show and what time. It's that simple. Go to 920kvc.com. Sign up for the KVEC Daily Update. Top of the hour, it's ABC Radio News, and then we're talking about the vaping among teens. This new kind of smoking. And then let's have a conversation about reparations for the descendants of slaves in this country. Senate Majority Leader McConnell made some comments yesterday that have become a bit controversial. I'm not so sure they're that controversial. We'll find out what you think later on. I was away yesterday and the day before. It's a special summer for the Congleton family, if I may take a moment to brag about it. My older brother Bruce and his lovely wife Annette are about to celebrate 50 years. Their wedding anniversary is coming up in July. And what do you give your brother who's married for 50 years? What do you do? You go out and get a frame? I don't know. They pretty much have everything. So I decided to give them something different. Kathy and I took them to the Hollywood Bowl to see Andrea Bocelli in concert because Bruce and Annette love Andrea Bocelli, and I do too. I've become a recent convert to the game. So that's where I was. And I just want to put a plug in because we all love the Hollywood Bowl. I think it's just one of the great venues for live performance, no matter what you're going to see. But something we hadn't done before, we go down and we have that secret parking spot and there's a church at the corner of Highland and Franklin. And you can go in there, I don't know, it's $25-$30, but they don't stack. So you go in, you park your car, and when it's about a 20-minute walk to the main gate, when you leave, you get back to your car, you leave right away. You don't have to wait to the person to get out in front of you. But this time we decided to try something different, and we took the shuttle bus in. I had never done that before. And we caught it in Pasadena. It was $7 round trip. Can't beat that. Parking in the garage was free. And they take you right to the main gate at the Hollywood Bowl. They let you out. The only downside is at the end of the concert, they make it clear you've got 25 minutes. 25 minutes in that sea of humanity. That's one way of putting it. You got to make your way all the way down, and you got to go on the tunnel underneath Highland and get on your bus. But we made it. And I think it was 45 minutes in from Pasadena. We made it back at about a half hour. And we didn't have to worry about parking. We didn't have to pay for parking. I can't say I'm going to do this every time, but I'm glad we tried it. And what can I tell you about Andrea Bocelli? I'm late to the game on this. I always knew who he was, but I never really knew his music, and I had never paid much attention to him before. And we went last June up to San Jose to see him right before him being hit by a car. And then when I saw that he was coming to the Hollywood Bowl, I thought, well, gee, that'd be the perfect gift for my brother and his wife. So that's where I was, and we had a grand time. And if you haven't been to the Bowl, you really need to go. And if you ever have a chance to see Andrea Bocelli, well, he had a son. His son performed a couple songs, and that was lovely. I guess the term is light opera. So I'll be going up, I'll be gone for a couple days in July because that's the official 50th anniversary celebration. But I'm very proud of Bruce and Annette. Annette's been like a sister to me. I first met her in 1961. That's how long they've known each other. So I've really kind of grown up with her in my life. And I'm very proud of them and their three sons and three daughters-in-law and their 10 grandchildren. And we're all going to be getting together in Seattle in a couple weeks. That should be exciting. And none of them vape. That's even better. All right, we got news. We got traffic. We've got weather. I'm Dave Congleton. Stick around. The 5 o'clock hour begins now.